Good morning to you. It's even better when I say good Friday morning to you. I could probably stop right there, huh? Fantastic. We love Fridays, especially when they're filled with beach trips and barbecues. Although I'm facing a moral dilemma. Okay, it's not moral, but I feel like it could be a reflection of my character. The neighbors asked me to come over for a cookout, and we're combining forces, so I'm making my famous pasta salad as well as some chocolate chip cookies, except the idea that this barbecue is supposed to go on for 7 or 8 hours, I don't think I can last that long. I'm not that social. My neighbor said, well, come over around 2:30 or 3. We'll start cooking at 4:30. And I was like, heavens, what am I supposed to do for the first 90 minutes? And then she said, oh, and we'll have the bonfire by 8. Okay, first of all, it's going to be 90 degrees with 97% humidity, so I'm good without the bonfire. I think I'd rather have a sprinkler. But also, do you think I'm obligated to stay at the cookout that long? Is it possible to use my dog as an excuse? Oh, it's kind of hot out here for my dog, or I might need to take my dog for a walk if you don't mind.
Yes.
That's a long cookout. I don't typically spend that much time at other people's houses unless A, I'm visiting from out of state, or B, I'm related to them. That's a long time.
Like, barbecues are fun. It's summertime. Okay, but you're talking about like 9 hours here. Like, what kind of commitment are you supposed to make?
90 minutes before there's any food? I definitely don't think I can do that.
You know, when was the barbecue being lit up? That's when I'm showing up. Right.
Also, I feel like the temptation of being, 100 feet from my own home is probably too much for me to bear. The recliner, the air condition, oh my gosh, the nap time that I'll be foregoing. Yeah, I can already feel the excuses welling up inside of me.
I immediately regret this decision.
Between that and spending $200 to sign up for the Star Wars half marathon at Disney in the spring, I feel as though this could be one heck of a weekend.
That's a lot of
Don't do what I say, not what I do. Don't model your actions and your decisions after your host. Just in case you were thinking about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. And yes, good Friday morning to you. I hope you have a fantastic weekend plan ahead. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have breaking news. I mean, breaking news, not sports, but something that I swear you will care about, which is why we're going to wait 15 minutes to make sure that... No, it's not the lead. I can't lead with it. I mean, I led with the barbecue, for God's sakes, kind of. No, I can't lead with it. We got to talk about the NBA trade. But in 15 minutes, the breaking news that may blow you away. It's not to do with sports, but it's something else that pretty much the entire country was talking about on Thursday. Was that a proper tease? Okay, good. Guess what Russell Westbrook was doing last night? He made a public appearance, crazy enough. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, not even a 2-hour drive from OKC. He was in Tulsa, and he was part of a charity comedy show. And it's got his name on it. His name is on the marquee, which means he had to be there. So he opened the event, and he closed the event, and the crowd gave him a massive standing ovation both times, but he did not address the trade that happened just hours before. Dun, 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 dun. The plot thickens. Reportedly, both Westbrook and James Harden are on board. Like, they were excited. This is something they wanted to happen when they first found out that the trade was a possibility. And so they endorsed it. Sam Presti and Daryl Morey swapped the proper pieces, and Chris Paul just got traded in for a younger model. This is exactly what happened. He just got traded for a younger model. It blows me away that 2 years ago, James Harden wanted Chris Paul for his backcourt partner, right? James Harden and Chris Paul, that was supposed to be the duo that would propel them past the Warriors to the top of the Western Conference, if not to their first NBA title in decades. He was the man of the hour. But what happened? He got hurt in the two most important games of the year. He was not available. game 6 and 7 against the Warriors. They pull a dramatic rally. They win game 7 of the West Finals in Houston while Chris Paul watches. Now, they'll blame the refs. In fact, they wrote an entire documentary about it. They blame the refs for that Western Conference Finals loss, but you talk to fans and they'll tell you, oh, it could have been different if Chris Paul was on the court. Yeah, it could have been. He was having a great series. You know what? KD was playing really well, too, until he got hurt this year. Klay Thompson was having the best quarter of his NBA Finals until he tore his ACL. So woulda, shoulda, coulda. But the point is, he wasn't around for the most important games of Houston's run last summer. And now he's a scapegoat. Was it all his fault? Of course not. Do you remember how badly they shot from three-point land in that Game 7? It was brutal. It was embarrassing. And this year's playoff exit was even worse. They didn't even get to a Game 7, and it wasn't the West Finals. And there was no KD. Oy. Which is why Daryl Morey was willing to trade everybody on his roster, except, the only guy who actually gets traded is Chris Paul. 34 years old, hasn't played every game in a season for the last 4 years. It's a guy that maybe is a little more injury prone because of the position he plays, doesn't have the same explosiveness as a Russell Westbrook. Still scores, still dishes, still really effective, smart, a lot of wisdom and experience, tough. All those things describe Chris Paul. But all those things also describe Russell Westbrook. Now, he's a little more of a powder keg. I guess James Harden swapped out one talkative backcourt mate for another. Russ has averaged triple doubles the last 3 seasons. He brings a better defensive presence, which is certainly something the Rockets need in their backcourt. But isn't it ironic that 2 years ago, Chris Paul was the guy they were bringing in to take them to the next level? And now he just got traded in for a younger model, specifically 4 years younger. So Russell is 30 and James Harden will be 30 this summer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So how will they fit together? This is a question that a lot of you are posing on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on Facebook as well. A lot of you thinking, hey, unless the NBA allows guys to play with two basketballs on the court at the same time, this isn't going to work. Former general manager Ryan McDonough with Frank Isola on Sirius XM NBA Radio.
They played together in Oklahoma City and went to the finals in 2012 before Sam Presti made the controversial decision to trade James Harden to the Houston Rockets that offseason, coming off the heels of a finals appearance. I don't love the fit on paper, and here's why. As you know, Oklahoma City, they play with one isolation player. Usually that's James Harden, or it can be Chris Paul. Now it'll be Russell Westbrook. And they spot up four shooters around the perimeter. They hold two corners, and there's a lot of dribble penetration and spot-up three-point shooting. And as you know, Frank, that's not Russell Westbrook's game. He's not a great three-point shooter. I think it works well with the ball in Westbrook's hands, like when he's the pick-and-roll player, the guy attacking in isolation situations. But I'm not sure how well it works when the ball is in James Harden's hands, which, as you know, Frank, over the last 2 years, Harden has been historically good at that and finished first and second in the MVP voting over that time.
They get a lot of usage. Top two NBA players in terms of usage last year, meaning the touches and everything else. I mean, just you know what usage means. We're all adults here, I think. McDonough, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns on Sirius XM NBA Radio with Frank Isola. There certainly will be some question marks about the fit, but I do like the fact that the defense is going to be better. That part I really do like. And certainly the exchange, if you're looking point guard to point guard, they got younger, they got more explosive, he's more athletic, he's fierce, he's had a couple of injuries, but generally the guy's healthy, doesn't take plays off, doesn't take time off. He gives the Rockets an edge, maybe one that they needed. I don't know if this confirms the idea that Harden and Chris Paul were on the outs, but multiple reports indicating that Harden endorsed the trade, that he wanted to bring in Russell Westbrook. It's just interesting to think about the styles of play and who's going to run the show, and how Mike D'Antoni a couple years ago made the switch. so that Harden would become the guy with the ball in his hands most of the time. He can play off ball, but even with Chris Paul, he didn't always play off ball. He was going to be the catalyst. I mean, that's Russell Westbrook. He's used to being the catalyst. They're both quarterbacks. One of them's a major alpha male. James Harden's personality is not much as much an alpha male. His game is like that. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not Russ wears him out with too much talking. Either way, it's crazy to think about the changing landscape in the West. We talked about the dynamic duos just in the backcourts in the Western Conference. And the way that the whole thing is kind of opened up. And so people were looking at Houston, like, yo, time to make a move. You just got passed by. Well, is this enough? If you consider the guys they kept that were originally about to be traded, but the guys they kept, the guys that they had made available that didn't get moved in their front court, guys who do have a commitment to defense, are they to the point now where you feel like they're balanced? The thing about the Rockets offense that just drives me bonkers is all the three-point shooting and the fact that that's the ultimate goal. Now, that's not the best part of Russ's game, so maybe he can offer a different dimension. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love it if you send me your thoughts on Russ and James Harden. It's intriguing, isn't it? It's all about dynamic duos now in the NBA. Threesomes are out, man. That's old news. That's so 2016. No one does big threes anymore. Pluh. In fact, the Warriors have a big three, and they're considered to be an also-ran now. So funny how things change. Hashtag hot takes. So on Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number is 855-212-4227. We got some good stuff coming up at Wimbledon. So Serena, yet again, staring history in the face, looking for Grand Slam win number 24. We've got the men's semifinals with Rafa versus Roger, but straight ahead, breaking news. It has nothing to do with sports, but I guarantee you it's going to blow you away.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Great women, why is that okay?
The great, why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not standing, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, dude.
You shut the up.
Go ahead and attack me, big.
Oh, my God.
This is a CBS News special report.
It's a fraud. He is a fraud. Did you guys know this? Breaking in the middle of the night. The 5-foot-nothing little bagel guy, the one who started a fight, screaming about how women treat him on dating sites because of his short stature, he staged it. According to the New York Post and other media outlets who've done a deep dive on him, his name is Chris, but forever he will be known as Little Bagel Guy because that's not just about his height, it's also about his morality, apparently.
You're not God or my father or my boss.
Oh, yeah, that's ironic. Sure, bring God into it. He staged it, if you believe the reports. Apparently, his YouTube channel has multiple videos that are just like this. Very similar, in which he goes into public places, a 7-Eleven, some other places, and he fakes it. Little man's disease. Napoleon complex, if some of you have pointed out on social media. He goes in there and just starts a big fuss, a big fracas. And usually it's about the same theme. So he doesn't have another trick. He's a one-trick pony. This is it. He goes into public places and he starts yelling over his insecurities about his height. And clearly, if it was staged, the chick was in on it. Now, you remember how this went. She was the one who was filming it. You can hear her voice in the background. But it originates on his YouTube channel. That's kind of a dead giveaway, no? The video comes from his YouTube channel. So as the guys were explaining to me, he is now making money off the number of YouTube views, which is, I guess, the entire idea.
You're a phony. Hey, this guy's a great big phony.
But you remember, on the video that went viral all over social media, you can hear her saying, talking about filming it, and it's theoretically her phone. Oh, no, she got a cut. She got a cut, because otherwise he wouldn't have the video. Somehow he got possession of the video. It's not like after he got tackled in front of the bagel display, he got up, dusted himself off, and went to the woman and said, "Hi, I know I just made a huge scene, and you think so little of me, because I'm so little. But could I possibly have that video for my own usage?" I mean, he didn't do that. He had to have arranged it with her ahead of time. Big fat jerks. I'm not sure what's more stunning. That I fell for it because I'm totally a sucker. But I know that about myself. But that 70 million people watch this video? Chris, can we get an update? Is it still posted? Is it still up?
Yeah, but the problem is, the reason it has that gargantuan number of views is because it's been posted and reposted and reposted.
So many times.
Lord knows how many it's up to at this point.
I told the story. I was sitting at dinner last night with some friends in New Jersey. And some friends of mine were asking me, "So how's your show going this week? What have you been talking about?" And I said, "Well, last night on the show, we spent a good hour on this ridiculous guy in this bagel shop on Long Island who goes ballistic and must have had a bad date or something." So I'm telling them all about it. And as we're sitting there, I kid you not, a alert pops up on my friend's phone, the guy's phone, who thought this whole thing was hysterical. His wife wouldn't let him watch it while we're sitting there at the dinner table. So an alert pops up on his phone and he shows it to me. He starts cackling. He shows it to me and it's from a local TV station in New York City. Video of a man in a bagel shop on Long Island screaming and yelling about a dating site goes viral. That was the alert on his phone. So it was just filtering to him even as I was talking about it. So now it has to filter that it's fake. So producer Chris, along with bright red flashing lights on social media, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, he has linked the article in the New York Post so you can read about it. Forever known as Little Bagel Guy. Oh my gosh. What's worse, you guys? Is it worse that he did it or that we fell for it? Honestly, I'll just tell you the truth. I never thought it could be staged. I mean, there are certainly people out there who are good actors, but it never even crossed my mind that this could be staged.
No, this guy was Houdini yesterday. He fooled all of us. Not only the sports radio world, the TV world, the entertainment industry, everyone was talking about this video. So he did a masterful job of duping us all.
I just want to know how much money he's going to make off of it. We actually helped this guy make money.
See, now I don't know, because now maybe that he's been exposed, maybe his videos, because YouTube does have the ability to demonetize your videos.
What?
So if you get
how do you know so much about this?
I consider dabbling at one point.
Would you ever consider staging a sit-in of some sort, but staging a temper tantrum in a bagel shop?
I'd stoop to some low levels, not that low, though.
What low level? Oh, no. This is bad. You better be careful what you reveal on national radio.
No, it would be more of self-humiliation than anything else.
You don't think that was self-humiliating?
Well, he got other people involved, and I would just make it, you know, I would just do that to myself. I wouldn't get other people involved.
Please don't.
No,
you now have a show and a reputation to uphold. Not to mention you're a reflection on me. So if you do something like that,
no, I retired my dream of a YouTuber many, many nights ago.
Really? Well, now you have our YouTube channel to keep you company.
I get enough social media here on a nightly basis.
I hear that. Oh my gosh, can we get rid of some of those pages? Possibly the company won't let us. Anyway, the whole thing flat out flubbed, fake, phony, you fraud. It's the F words. I'm not going to say the other F word, but are you kidding me? I mean, have we stooped this low as a society? I guess we have. The fact is people watch it, which means people will do it. If you fake it, people will watch. It's like the whole deal with Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you fake it, the views will happen. Andrew Bogish. Just tell me the truth. Did you ever, ever consider that little bagel man could be faking the entire thing?
Certainly not at face value. That was not my first thought. But then I was, maybe right after you left yesterday, it was the first time I saw somebody mentioning on Twitter that this man had a YouTube page.
Oh, no.
Of similar videos. And then we came like, well, how does he keep getting into these situations and someone is filming them? And yeah, so he sucks.
The chick got a cut, no doubt. We were trying to figure out what her percentage might be. Well, 30?
30% of the
YouTube tape.
Ad
yeah,
revenue?
The revenue.
I don't know, but our good friend Taz, who's outside right now, is just explaining how the dude that tackled the dude in the deli, like,
you think that's stage two?
Yes, and how you would do it so that you didn't hurt the small man with the big man tackling him.
Oh.
And it might explain why, while he's challenging this big dude to a fight, why he just didn't get knocked out.
Punched.
He got tackled because they were all in on it.
Now, see, I asked the guys earlier, do you think they were all in on it? And we kind of went back and forth on that. So you're saying all of it was acting and none of it was authentic.
I mean, the thing that I can't get my head around is because my favorite part remains the woman going, I just wanted bagels. And that's such a perfectly delivered line. She should be in the movies if she can act like that.
But
so,
you don't think he should be too?
I think, again, is it the most likely scenario to me and off the top of my head is that like he went in there to pick a fight and other people ended up being part of it because they were just, they thought it was real. But like maybe the guy that tackled him and one other person who was filming were there on purpose because they knew what he was about to try and do.
You're not God or my father or my boss.
You know those kind of mall songs, like you walk into a mall or you're in a mall and all of a sudden everyone breaks out in song. It was like really
Flash
popular.
Mob.
Flash Mob, thank you for the title. It's been really popular the last couple of years. I mean, I feel like we just got duped by an actor's mob, an actor's flash mob. They all walk in at the same time and set up their spots at the bagel shop and then boom, someone gives the cue.
Well, one of them that he's done the past was at a 7-Eleven.
Right.
And the cops get called. And he's like, I want to file a report. This guy asked me how tall I was. And the cop's like, that's not a crime. Like, I can't do anything about that, sir.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so
also,
this guy,
just so you know, I wouldn't use a work computer to check out his YouTube channel. Chris said that there are videos on there that are extremely offensive. And I told him, delete the browsing history. It was going to look like we were checking out his YouTube channel. And somebody's going to come back and there's going to be these offensive videos and we're going to get fired.
I think you're okay.
You think we have plausible deniability?
Because the videos are being played in the newsroom yesterday at full volume with the cursing and whatnot.
So, are they really bad?
I mean, they've got... Well, not for you. They're nothing because you're potty mouth. But for more virgin ears, yes, they might be offensive.
Oh, wow. All because I learned the B word.
Yeah.
Seriously? I was playing Kevin Durant and using the B word. I wasn't He's a fraud and a phony and a fake. Ooh. I wonder if that's a crime. If you're making money off it, is that a crime?
I don't think so because the crime would be like actually doing damage to the restaurant or filing a false like report, a police report.
All right.
But I think being a dope, unfortunately, is not a crime.
Oh my gosh. I want to know what these people are getting paid. Like the people who are in on it, what are they getting paid? Nobody does that.
I don't know the first thing about YouTube videos.
I don't
like my
Chris
assumption
does.
Is you would need like advertising revenue,
oh,
right?
Oh no, Chris knows all about it. Chris, how much money are we talking about here?
They do it by follower threshold, so you have to hit certain benchmarks. And I think the first one is like 10,000 followers, and he's not even there yet. So,
my gosh.
But what do you get for 10, you know, like a bonus? I don't understand.
No, so that's when they start play. Like, you know, when you go to look up a YouTube video or a music video, there's an ad that plays before it. You only get those on your video, and you only get the money for them once you reach a certain
follower
threshold.
Okay.
And he's not there yet. So this might have been an elaborate plan to get to that point.
I mean, Bogus, you have more subscribers on your YouTube channel than this guy does.
I think I have 3, so you're incorrect.
Okay, well, maybe he has a few more. But, like, for instance, some of our entities here at the network have more subscribers. It's not
right.
Like this guy's famous. Oh my goodness. I never thought of it. This is me. I'm gullible. I admit it. But I thought I had become a little more hardened and cynical at this point in my life. Apparently not.
No. So you know what though? I think it's better to be less cynical than too cynical.
Which are you?
I'm probably more on the naive side. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's not terrible. We're not the only ones.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Five to shoot, four to shoot, Harden a straightaway three. Good! James Harden drills the three! Timeout Golden State! Rockets up six, 49 seconds to go in overtime!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Against Golden State, the best of times and the worst of times for the Houston Rockets, and here they are going for broke. Yet again, will this be the dynamic duo that puts them over the top? Craig Ackerman on the Rockets radio network. It's just crazy to me how quickly things happen in pro sports. And I use this a lot. I've stolen it from Nationwide. Life comes at you fast. 2 years ago, Chris Paul was the chosen one. He was the flavor of the month for the Rockets for James Harden. They were so psyched to play together. But two awful exits to the Warriors in the postseason. And sorry, man, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I mean, that's how quickly that experiment was done. And now they're exchanging him for Russell Westbrook. Now, in the case of the Thunder, I feel bad. Chris Paul probably won't stay there. There's a good chance he could end up in Miami, which was a team that was also interested in bringing in Westbrook. I feel badly because I know how passionate the Thunder fans are. I know how much they love that franchise and how long they waited to get a pro sports franchise, an NBA franchise in the city. And they also love Russ. And they were so, so grateful. Again, I know this firsthand. It's about friends who have season tickets, friends who love the games, watch the games. I mean, my closest friend in Oklahoma, her little boy is four or five. And he walks around with a basketball all the time, like a little small basketball. He plays on a basketball court. He's, he's not a big talker. He's been slow to develop in terms of talking, but he loves Russ. Chatters away when they're watching Thunder basketball and Russell Westbrook, and it's not the first choice for Russ to leave. But Sam Presti had to choose what was best for the franchise, as hard as this was. The city of OKC tweeted at Russell Westbrook, "Thanks for 11 years as a good neighbor and for the triple doubles, the MVP, and bringing the NBA Finals to OKC. What fun we had growing together." Oh gosh, just reading that. Big smiley Russell Westbrook, a younger Russell Westbrook, and then some other great photos. And they're going to miss him. I mean, I think they wanted him to stay, and we're hoping that his loyalty and their productivity would keep him there. And that was probably his first choice, too. Otherwise, he wouldn't have signed the most recent deal. But he endorsed the trade to Houston, and now OKC really is one of those teams that, I mean, they've already missed this draft, right? So all these draft picks are for the future. It's one of those teams that you look at them and you think, okay, they're not going to overtly try to tank because that's against the rules. But that's the idea now, is stockpile those draft picks. I can't imagine he's going to turn those into a trade. I mean, feels like a total rebuild. Who's left? Steven Adams? I mean, that's, wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. You've got our phone number, toll-free, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. If you missed it earlier, I thought this was fascinating. The other conference, Eastern Conference, of course, acquired some big names as well in Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, those being with the Nets. And I always wonder, what do coaches and players think or feel when they first hear the news like we do, especially if it happens on social media? And, players very often will react on Twitter or Instagram. Coaches don't generally do that, though. But I loved hearing Kenny Atkinson's reaction, finally, to the acquisitions by the Brooklyn Nets. He was a guest on our New York affiliate, WFAN.
Surprise would be an understatement. I don't think any of us expected to be in this situation this quickly. So, great job by Sean and the front office to put us in this situation, our cap situation. But, exciting times for the Nets.
Yeah, you think? Atkinson also answers questions about Kyrie's reputation, his image, not the idea that he thinks the earth is flat, but the other stuff, the criticisms of his leadership and whether or not he can actually be a guy that is a glue guy as opposed to a guy that divides a locker room and can't be the one who's leading.
We never prejudge guys. I think we've heard it with other players that have come into our program. Oh, this and that. And I just, until you coach him, I'm not going to judge that part of it. But I know this, he fits perfectly in our system.
He fits perfectly. Kenny Atkinson, coach of the Brooklyn Nets, with the keys to, what did we say earlier? A Lamborghini handed to him. WFAN, our New York affiliate, with the audio. Let's talk to Robert, who's in Florida. Robert, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Amy. Pleasure to talk to you. As a native of Oklahoma City, we're all depressed, but it's sad.
Aww.
But in reality, it makes sense to trade Westbrook because all the other teams, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Clippers, the Warriors, they all made trades. They all got better. If Russell Westbrook would have stayed, maybe we make the seventh seed. We get bounced in the first round again.
Right.
We made it four straight. But it all makes sense. But the other thing is, I don't think that Chris Paul is actually going to make the roster. He's either going to retire or go to the Heat. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Robert. Honestly, there's no way. I don't think he retires now with the kind of money that's out there on the table. And you know what? I don't know how this works. There certainly are guys that have money in their contracts that they get paid long, like after they're out of the game. But I don't know if all of that money is paid if he retires. That's, there's a lot of money left in his contract. What is it? We talked about this earlier in the spring, didn't we? There's so much money left on his deal. I don't know that you leave that much money out there.
I don't remember the exact numbers. I have to look it up, but it's like 3 years, 100 and like 20 million or something like that.
I mean, plus I don't think he believes that he can't play anymore. I mean, what? Keep playing. If you can keep playing, if somebody's going to pay you, then play. And this is kind of the motivation that you need if you ever thought about maybe your career was in its twilight and I don't have to bust my rear as much. Nah, I think this gives him a major chip on his shoulder. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So coming up today, Friday, we've got the men's semifinals at Wimbledon. Awesome. Cannot wait to see Roger Rafa, though don't send me any tweets to spoil it because I'm going to be watching it on my DVR. I'm going to sleep. Hope you don't mind. It is a Friday. I don't care if you mind. But that's going to be exciting. And then Novak Djokovic, of course, on the other half of that draw. So we'll see what kind of fantastic final we get on the men's side. As for Serena Williams, 23 Grand Slams and holding, right? This will be her third Grand Slam final in the last year, her 11th Wimbledon final. But she's looking for number 24, trying to tie Margaret Court, the first ever for her opponent, Simona Halep, who is 1-9 against Serena. And it's going to be fascinating to see if she can break through. Certainly the deck is cleared for her. I mean, the fact that there are no top fives remaining, that so many of the top players in women's tennis have been taken out ahead of her. She's playing well. And she just hasn't played this deep into a tournament in a while. And it's challenging her fitness, but she says every match she's getting stronger and getting better. So that's coming up Saturday. You've got Wimbledon wrapping up this weekend. So many of you sending me tweets about the fake bagel guy. I'm over it. That's it. I'm over it. You're a fraud. You know who's not a fraud? The guy who took center stage, had a dream vacation in Cleveland this week.
Come on. Click. Boom.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom. I just laid down the A-law. Boom.
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And the most sizzling reaction.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate the greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
I'm very, excited. I'm always excited to be the state in Cleveland.
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Go ahead, run at the plate. Alonso. It gets through Torres and into left center field, and two runs are going to score. And this is a one-run ball game. May have a tough time getting Pete Alonso out of Cleveland.
I'm living a fantasy right now, and I just feel blessed. I know I sound like I'm sure I sound like a broken record, but it's true. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world.
Pete Alonso, the rookie for the New York Mets, 24 years old, also engaged to be married. He had Haley, the name of his fiance, as in Haley's Comet, on his bat for the Home Run Derby. And not only did he take that stage and make it his own and get by the great Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but also then really, I think, engaged the crowd with the fist pumps and the excitement and jumping into his cousin's arms, who was pitching to him, and then has the two-run hit in the All-Star game the night after. So, dream vacation for Pete Alonso in Cleveland. Ask him his favorite city. He might tell you the shores of Lake Erie. That's where he wants to go back and visit again. Joe Buck with the call on Fox. Speaking of Fox, that is the network that had the U.S. Women's National Team, the World Cup. And if you missed my conversation with Christine Lilly, a veteran of 5 World Cups for the U.S. women, won a pair of gold medals, now is an author. It's a book called Powerhouse, and happens to be released at the same time that the women are competing for another World Cup. I don't think that was a coinkydink. But the cool thing about it is it's principles of teamwork, and at the end of each chapter, there's a kind of a testimonial, a Q&A, I think is what she said was the format, with members of past women's national teams and current members. So Alex Morgan, along with Megan Rapinoe, but going back to Mia Hamm, who wrote the foreword, just really good stuff with her. And it's also fascinating to me, we talked about this when she joined us on the show, that 20 years ago, the controversy was Brandi Chastain ripping off her jersey and exposing the sports bra as a celebration, and now the celebrations are under fire again. So if you miss Christine Lilly, part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. I'm going to finish with a stat. Are you ready? You know how much I love the nerd alerts. 45% of Americans will take summer road trips. So going on vacation and taking road trips this year. And so if you think about this summer weekend ahead, there's going to be a lot of people on the roads. So I'm going to avoid all of you. I'm going to go to a barbecue for not 7 hours and not get road rage and eat some good stuff on the grill. I hope you do the same thing. Have a great weekend. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!